Even if China's people had no connection through trade and travel with people elsewhere, China's large territory and population would guarantee effects on other peoples merely because China is releasing its wastes and gases into the same ocean and atmosphere. But China's connections to the rest of the world through trade, investment, and foreign aid have been accelerating almost exponentially in the last two decades. Let's now consider other ways in which the rest of the world influences China, then how China influences the rest of the world. The interconnectedness of societies in today's world causes some of the most important differences between how environmental problems played out in the past and how they play out today. Among the bad things that China receives from the rest of the world, I already mentioned economically damaging invasive species. Another large-scale import that will surprise many listeners is garbage. Some first-world countries reduce their mountains of garbage by paying China to accept untreated garbage, including wastes containing toxic chemicals. In addition, China's expanding manufacturing economy and industries accept garbage scrap that could serve as cheap sources of recoverable raw materials. This represents direct transfer of pollution from the first world to China. Even worse than garbage, foreign companies have transferred pollution-intensive industries to China, including technologies now illegal in the country of origin. As of 1995, China was home to an estimated 16,998 pollution-intensive firms. Turning now from China's imports to its exports in a broad sense, China's high native biodiversity means that China gives back to other countries many invasive species. For instance, the three best-known pests that have wiped out numerous North American tree populations, the chestnut blight, the misnamed Dutch elm disease, and the Asian long-horned beetle, all originated in China or else somewhere nearby in East Asia. Another species which China is exporting in increasing numbers is Homo sapiens. China has now moved into third place as a source of legal immigration into Australia, and significant numbers of illegal as well as legal immigrants crossing the Pacific Ocean reach even the U.S. While Chinese insects and people reach overseas countries by ship and plane, other exports arrive in the atmosphere. China became the world's largest producer and consumer of gaseous ozone-depleting substances, such as chlorofluorocarbons, after first-world countries phased them out in 1995. China also now contributes 12% of the world's carbon dioxide emissions that play a major role in global warming. If current trends continue, China will become the world's leader in carbon dioxide emissions, accounting for 40% of the world's total by the year 2050. China already leads the world in production of sulfur oxides, with an output double that of the U.S. Propelled eastwards by winds, the pollutant-laden dust, sand, and soil originating from China gets blown to Korea, Japan, Pacific Islands, and across the Pacific within a week to the U.S. and Canada. Those aerial particles are the result of China's coal-burning economy, deforestation, overgrazing, erosion, and destructive agricultural methods. The next exchange between China and other countries involves an import doubling as an export. Imported timber, hence exported deforestation. China ranks third in the world in timber consumption, but a growing gap has been developing between China's increasing demand for wood products and its declining domestic supply. Hence, China's wood imports have increased sixfold since the ban. With China's entrance into the World Trade Organization, those timber imports are expected to increase even more, because tariffs on wood products are about to be reduced. In effect, this means that China, like Japan, will be exporting deforestation to other countries, several of which have already reached or are on the road to catastrophic deforestation. Potentially more important than all of these other impacts is a rarely discussed consequence of the aspirations of China's people to a first-world lifestyle. If China's per capita consumption rates rise to first-world levels, and even if nothing else about the world changed, then that rate increase alone would translate into an increase in total world production consumption by 94% in the case of industrial metals. In other words, China's achievement of first world standards will approximately double the entire world's human resource use and environmental impact. But it is doubtful whether even the world's current human resource use and impact can be sustained. Something has to give way. That is the strongest reason why China's problems automatically become the world's problems.